The items are on the Safety Committee agenda for this morning. Mr. Wiedefeld will make a few remarks regarding the NTSB actions of the past week, what we all heard at their business meeting where they adopted their report. Following that, Acting Assistant Chief Safety Officer Chad Krukowski will bring us through a process that the staff will be using to go on addressing the recommendations from the NTSB and, importantly, the recommendations and findings that have come from the Federal Transit Administration. That's an important, really almost existential effort that we have to undertake. And I just would like to take a minute to reflect, since I won't be here again, on how did we get into this problem and what are we going to do about it. We are in a hole that we've dug in terms of responding to serious and understood safety problems. When this committee was created 5 years ago, it was my hope that a cooperative relationship that included the board members on the committee, included the CEO, included a strong chief safety officer, and included participation by our outside oversight agency could work, would resolve safety issues, and begin to build an effective safety culture. For some time, I had the feeling that process was working, but I think as we look at where we are now, we have to conclude it hadn't worked. And one of the key missing elements was an independent and effective outside oversight agency that would be providing guidance and verifying key actions. Have to have that. Trust but verify that we know what is being done, how it's being done. That function is now somewhat reluctantly being provided by the Federal Transit Administration. And when there are some new federal members at this table, and two of them are actually here today, Ms. Carmody and Mr. Lauby here sitting in to hear how we go about this, they will be relying heavily on what FTA says. The region has it in its own hands to create the necessary independent Metro Safety Commission, but that has been languishing for a long time. It was first proposed by the three jurisdictions through their transportation secretaries in April of 2010, more than 6 years ago. I know now there is a commitment to get that in place, but that independent activity is critical if our performance is going to be recognized for what it is. Without that, Metro's history has been some steps forward, unfortunately then steps back. We've seen that. In the discussion of an agency's resilience, I think Metro has, to some extent, negative resilience. It tends to snap back to where it was without completing what needs to be done. We have to overcome that. We heard that at length at the NTSB meeting last week. They have done 13 accident investigations on Metro over a period of 30 to 40 years. That may be more than they've done on any comparable agency, but they've commented that so many of those things that were identified years ago, commitment was made to resolve them, the progress isn't necessarily there, or the regression put them back where they were. One of their earliest evaluations was the crash that occurred in 1982. And some of their major comments were about the performance of the Operations Control Center, and you could get the sense in reading the 1982 report that it could have been written yesterday. So concerned that things that are committed to don't necessarily happen. They have two major studies of roadway worker deaths, and responding to that, a major step went forward to create a roadway worker protection program. It's been in place. I have a concern that it may not be working as well as it should be. I was told the other day that a significant percentage of those employees who should be qualified to be working on roadway do not have current qualification, but you're going to move forward on that, especially with all the work that will be going on with SafeTrax. We have to be assured that every one of those activities has a safety plan, that every group that goes out to work on the property on any given day has had a safety briefing, understands what they have to do. We can't slip back. We also look at recommendations going back to the Fort Totten crash, and as evident in one of the slides this morning, there's still work going on 7 years later to replace the track circuits and get the system back to where it should be. We can't let that happen. We also raised questions last month about how could we have had the events that happened in McPherson with the fire and all of the findings of the important shutdown and inspection, given the fact that this had been promised to be fixed after the L'Enfant activity, and I'm sure that you'll be looking into that. So I hope we hear how we're going to do better, how we track what's been directed by others, how we work with them, and I think we do have to do that. I've talked with both the administrator and the secretary about that relationship. We have to go beyond just checking the box of compliance. We really have to help build the culture that will work, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Second part of the agenda will be the quarterly safety report, which is one of our measures on how we are doing. I think we have to question what's in there, but move forward. Before we begin with our agenda, though, I would like to take the opportunity to introduce to the public Pat Lavin, Metro's new chief safety officer. He's got 30 years of experience at the MTA in their New York City transit operation, where he most recently was the second in command of the Office of System Safety. He has led safety investigations. He's led task forces to improve safety. And I had the opportunity to work with Pat 2 years ago when the MTA chairman asked me and a couple other people to constitute a Blue Ribbon panel with technical support to look at the issues that they had found. They have three rail agencies. One was really not so good. One was okay but could improve, and one was really in pretty good shape, and that was the Transit Authority. And Pat worked with us on that entire project, so I'm very confident with what he can do here. And I'm sorry I won't be able to work with him, but I extend a warm welcome to him, and also our thanks to Mr. Krukowski and all the employees in the department for the service that you provided and your continued commitment as we change leadership to make this a better place. So we have a big agenda, and we've got a lot of work ahead, and I wish you well with all of it. Let me turn it over to Mr. Wiedefeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did want to make a few comments on my views on the hearing last week from the NTSB. Clearly a tough day for everyone, most importantly the families, and not only of just of last January's event, but when you sat there and heard the history of you know, the sacrifice and the tragedies, it was very moving for, I think, everyone in the room. For me personally, it just reinforced my commitment and my energy to again get this organization to where I think it, you know, needs to be. With that, the three things that I saw at a high level from what I heard from the panel was one was just about just the basic the maintenance and the upkeep of the facilities, and the key driver there was the lack of access time to do the work for an aging system that has over decades has not been provided as we balanced the need for service to the customers above that. So as to deal with that, you know, I came out last week with the Safe Track plan to tackle that issue. And when you step back and look at that plan, I know we get hung up on the surges and the different parts of it, but the real message there is that the significant amount of time that we're going to be using for track time. So that was a big part of that. I also want to make clear that that part, that Safe Track plan, had two major parts. The first part dealt with basically increasing the amount of time we have on the track, period, not just the surges. So that means everything from what we've been doing, which is early outs and weekend single tracking and parts like that, but more importantly, moving to a midnight closure 7 days a week, ratcheting back on or doing even more early closings to 8 p.m. rather than 10 p.m., and then basically put a moratorium on early service and late service request. Again, because that's where we start to slide into moving away from the basic maintenance and the track time we need to do that. So that is, you know, again, in draft form, it's by no means meant to be, you know, I'm literally taking lots of information and other thoughts on it. The FTA has weighed in very heavily on some of their thoughts, so we definitely want to institute the plan based on that, but others too. I've heard from the jurisdictions across the region, so we will be doing that shortly. The other major error that I saw was on both in both process and procedures and standards that we follow. We haven't either we've had them, we haven't followed them, or we've had them and they're not good enough. One of the biggest things that I saw was the need to reinvigorate the whole safety department, and that was one of the reasons why we recruited Pat. And I'm confident just in the few days I've been working with him when he's been on board and actually working with him before he came on board, that we will get there, and we'll get there very quickly, and it'll be a change in business to how we've been doing it in the past. As you also may recall, when I did the reorganization in March, I did create an independent audit office, which is basically to ensure that the work is being done correctly and that we then continue to maintain what we said that we've done, and we will continue to do that. And then finally, I've asked Pat to take a look at the standards that the Federal Rail Administration follows to see if there's some established standards that we can apply to ourselves. You know, we live in a region where we're served by both VRE and MARC, and if they're living by those standards, it seems like there should be some standards that we can hit as well from that process. And then the third part of it that I heard was the people, and it's something that I've seen here as I come on. Two things came across to me listening at the hearing was, again, the disconnect between the frontline employees and management, which I have been working on, and the other is just management in itself. And as you know, last week I did start an initiative to bring everyone's attention to the accountability that they all share with me. And I did just recently held a meeting with all those managers to make sure they understand that safety is the key, but they're, you know, they have to manage efficiently, effectively. They've got to work with their people, not punish their people. But most importantly, they have to be held accountable. So those are the things that I'm taking from that hearing and will continue to pursue in the coming months.
Good morning to all committee members, and before I get started, I just wanted to also say that I'm very excited to have Pat on board, and turn this over to him in the future. The first topic of conversation is really just to provide an update to the committee members and the public on where we stand with FTA actions and also the NTSB. As we've said many times, we continue to work very closely with the FTA. Being completely transparent, they have been on the property almost continuously in an effort to help us identify areas of concern necessary to strengthen the system, ensure reliability, and enhance safety. In the graph here, in summary, we have on the FTA safety management inspection, we have now closed 8 taps. 3 were from the bus side, 5 from the rail findings, leaving 214 approved and open caps, and these are the combination of caps from the previous tri-state oversight and from the SMI inspection, and these are the all the caps that you see in the monthly management or monthly report we issue to you. Regardless of where they come from, all caps, all issues are being addressed and mitigated. They're being prioritized by hazard and then being rectified. Moving on, in April of this year, WMATA had received the final FTA program standards and procedures. The correct title basically is the FTA Oversight and Surveillance Plan. This is similar to the tri-state oversight procedures, and it's important to us because it defines the roles and the responsibilities, processes, inspections, notification requirements between our oversight and the authority. It's basically how we work together to get that rhythm. and so we just received their final version this April. Additionally, every year we are required to revise and submit our system safety program plan. That's how we implement safety at the authority, and this plan has been submitted, and we are still waiting for our oversight to approve our system safety program plan. Continuing on, we also continue to work to submit accidents and incident reports, which are required by our oversight for their approval. The one that has been addressed many times at this committee is the August 6th derailment near Smithsonian. The draft investigation report was submitted in October 2015 to the FTA. In February this year, we received notification that the draft investigation report would not be approved and that they required additional information and analysis. That information and analysis was provided within the 30-day requirement. And again, we are waiting for the next step, whether it be an approval or an additional comments. Talking about the FTA and their on-site inspections, as you can see here, to date, roughly, they've been on the property and have done over 109 inspections, not including their announced safety inspection blitz, which comprised of a track integrity, rail signals, and yard securement of vehicles. They have completed the track integrity portion and underway with the other two. In addition to the on-site visits, post and directed inspections, the FTA has also scheduled 5 triennial audits, which are being performed by what was previously known as the TOC. And these audits are on the agency's implementation of their system safety program plan, the required audits, and the TOC has been scheduled to do 5 in 2016. Moving on to the FTA track integrity, as I mentioned before, they have finished that part, and you can see from the graphic, they've had over 20 staff members on board and inspected over 60 miles of track over 6 days. We have received an outbriefing of the track inspection, but we have not received an official report, which we anticipate coming this summer once they complete the whole safety blitz. I'm going to move from the FTA to the NTSB now and talk about prior to the public board meeting of May 3rd, WMATA had 8 open recommendations, 4 from the original 29 recommendations, and 4 were issued after the LaFont incident for a total of 8 still open. All those recommendations from the NTSB, as a reminder, can be found on our website, where we track them and display where we are on those. Moving on to their board meeting to accept the LaFont incident, they formally accepted it on May 3rd, and in this report, they list out 43 findings identified with 24 new recommendations to Metro. And these recommendations are ranging from a development revision of our policies and procedures to additional training, infrastructure improvements, and additional emergency drills. All these recommendations, the 24 new ones and the 8 old ones, bring total NTSB recommendations to a total of 32. And we were planning on coming back to staff in June to talk more in detail of these new recommendations and how we'll move forward closing them. Basically, that concludes this part, and I will take any questions from the committee.
I just had a couple of questions, and then we'll go around. Could you go back to the chart that had the pie chart on it?
Sure.
We talk about 91 caps and 700 plus individual actions.
Right.
Obviously, all of the individual actions have to be taken before the cap can be closed.
Correct.
And many of them have been taken, but in reviewing them, most of those are the easy steps. I would not want to say because 445 are done that we're anywhere near complete.
No,
you know,
and that's
every one of those 91 has 2 steps at the end. Have you done everything? And will it stick? So those 2 critical steps are at the end of every one of those.
Correct.
So we're definitely into the mix, but a lot is still ahead.
I would absolutely
agree. And unfortunately,
agree.
We're accruing additional findings and additional caps that we're going to have to work on.
We will always be getting additional caps, but I feel confident, again, just to point out, we are moving in the right direction. There, we have been submitting action items. We've been moving forward. There's still a lot of work to do.
And then on the last slide about the NTSB findings regarding Longfont, I don't know, anybody have a sense when their actual report will be forthcoming?
I'm speaking for them. What I've heard through Hall back channels is in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that usually comes pretty quickly after the hearing, although they did adopt some amendments.
They made amendments to it, correct.
But it will make for important reading on an understanding of what happened and what we have to do. And I would note, 24 recommendations are to us.
Correct.
7 are to other parties, including fire and rescue people within the district, including others who were involved. There's plenty of work for everybody.
Yes,
and I think we all have to be working together on all of those recommendations. It isn't just what we have to do. It's when all of those things are done that customers can feel that they are safer in using the system. That was my question.
Chad, can we go back to the pie chart that we've just on, which shows the 91 caps? Does the 91 caps include the 4 NTSB recommendations from the Fort Totten accident, or are they in addition to the 91?
They're in addition. There may be some overlap between the two. There was some reference when FTA did theirs to the NTSB, but I'm speaking strictly to what we got from them, so 91 plus the additional that they incorporated from the talk, plus the NTSB recommendations would be add-ons on top of those.
So the 91 are the recommendations for caps that came from the talk, as well as the FTA over the last year.
The 91 are strictly from the safety management inspection.
Strictly TOC.
Right.
Strictly FTA that has.
Correct. 131 are from the previous TOC, which they had to go through Safety Directive 16.2. They compiled them, consolidated, accepted some, merged others. Brings the total population as a pie chart of like 222, 214 are still being worked on.
Now, the 91 you indicated are provided to the board, but I think you also indicated they're available on the WMATA website.
Yes, they are.
You have that URL link?
I can provide it. I don't have it memorized, but it is right out on our website, and I can provide that.
Yeah, if you could, so we can get it out to the public. I don't want to sound like a political campaign asking you to go to blahblahblah.com
for
a contribution, but I think it's something would be valuable for both the public at large and the media, as well as board members, to be able to know and have on their fingertips.
And I will also offer, you know, of course, the FTA has their own tracking log, but you will only see right now those 91. They have indicated that the additional ones that they have adopted from TOC, they will eventually incorporate into their tracking log and show all of them, but right now they show only the 91.
Is the URL to the 91 available on the WMATA homepage by a hyperlink, or do you really have to know the URL to find
out?
You
can go through the customer accountability report. When you go through that, basically there's links within that. And that's where we put the 732 actions as well. You can see what we're doing on that as well.
So until we get this information to the public at large, if you come into the homepage link to the customer accountability report, you'll find, if you use that hyperlink, that you'll get the 91 corrective action plans.
And all the detail behind it.
And all the detail. Very good. Now, one of the NTSB recommendations from the Fort Totten accident was the retirement of the 1,000 series rail cars. Where are we on that? Have any been retired now that we have over 100 of the new 7,000 rail cars?
I believe several have. I don't have the exact
I can get you the numbers, but yes, they have. Initially, we took out cars that basically were, in effect, parked cars, you know, and now we're actually taking them out of revenue service. So it started that process. I don't know how many a week, but we're starting to do that. And on the 7,000 series, we have 132 now on property and 120 in service.
Do we have a timeline for retiring?
We do. I can get that
all the 1,000?
Yes, I get that too.
Being able to satisfy that recommendation as well as a safer ride for our customers.
The original estimated date, I believe, was next year, the first of next year. I'm not sure.
First quarter of 2017?
Yes.
That'd be good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that report.
Other members of the committee have questions?
Sure. I just wanted to focus on one element of the NTSB hearing from last week. Among their recommendations, they concentrated on the issue of water infiltration. This is something that came up a year ago, and I had asked if we had a dedicated unit within the WMATA management team focused on water infiltration. The previous deputy general manager dismissed that question, and apparently no action has been taken in that regard in the past 12 months. So now that we have a finding from the NTSB, is it reasonable for the safety committee and the board to expect that this management team, the current management team here, will embrace the idea around having a dedicated water infiltration and mitigation unit, which I believe was something that existed at WMATA until it was disbanded some time ago?
I think it is, and I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes to cleaning crews for insulators. It goes to a number of power group that's just looking at power now. So we've started some of those already, but I'll make sure I put that in place as well, just on the infiltration issue.
Good. And then I also wanted to speak to the Safe Track plan a little bit. You know, in the past, I've been fairly vocal about the need to have a functional working relationship with FTA, and have been concerned about the tone of the communications that we've received from the federal government, and have felt that more needs to be done for them to help guide us to a better outcome. With regard to the ECHO status, thankfully the prior FTA administrator developed the blueprint for us, and that was, you know, I think something that was very, very helpful. It took some time to get there, but I credit her for responding to our request to give us a clear pathway to understand what needs to be done. But this committee, I think, going forward, needs to make sure that we're doing everything possible to reinforce primacy of the FTA as our safety oversight entity and regulator. So I would offer that in the future it might make sense for the safety committee to have direct contact with the FTA, and for us to hear from them, and so that we can reinforce their expectations at the committee level and ultimately at the board level. And to do that, I think we have to make sure that management is very inclusive in interactions with the FTA. So I apologize from my vantage point as a board member for not in advance of the release of the Safe Track plan, I apologize for us not insisting that we have the FTA involved with that prior to its release. Because while I think 80 to 90% of what is included in the Safe Track plan was probably endorsed and supported by the FTA, to have the FTA shortly thereafter identify additional items that they felt should have been included, sent a mixed message to the public about the extent of the cooperation that's going on between the FTA and WMATA. And I think that going forward, we need to throw ourselves into a collaborative, communicative posture. If there's no response or there's not a willing party on the other side, too bad. That's the world we live in. And I think we need the management team to make sure that the FTA and the secretary are fully aware of what we intend to do. And we need their sign-off, we need their input, we need their contribution to what we're doing, because the chain of directives and letters back and forth between WMATA and the FTA, I believe, needs to get broken, and we need to make sure that the FTA is getting everything that they need well in advance, and they're given privileged status as we develop these plans going forward. I hope that the Safety Committee can be an agent for that cooperative effort. And it leads me to a question about the structure at MTA and whether or not the presence of an independent engineering consultant at the board level is something that the Safety Committee here and the board might want to incorporate for the next year as we try to deliver the Safe Track Plan. Because people have rightly questioned what has been going on for the past 5 years in terms of the investments that have been made in these same system elements, and why should we endeavor and experience the pain and hardship of the next 12 to 18 months going forward without a high degree of confidence that this will lead to the right outcomes. And so I wonder and ask the management team to advise if there are things that the board should be doing to ensure that we're not making the same mistake twice. And I know that and Mort has pointed out that the MTA has a highly regarded safety and capital delivery program. I think we need to make structural changes to how we do business to increase the level of confidence that this is worth the effort. And so one thing we can do is engage more with the FTA, and I think the Safety Committee needs to do that, but we need to do additional things, and if there's merit in having an independent engineering consultant to look over what's going on with the Safe Track program, I think that's something we should entertain and consider.
Thank you. Mr. Drumshow, could I add something to both of those? The independent engineer at the MTA was not welcomed heavily by the staff, but the board insisted on it, and over time it has become a very valuable resource for both. And I think it is something that I would recommend looking at. We are a prisoner to where we get our information as board members, and having a third opinion sometimes is critical, so I would certainly say we should look at that. With respect to FTA, I have had an exchange with Administrator Flowers and made the point to her, which she completely agreed with. If she wants to hold the board accountable for results, which I think she does and which we want to have, she has to be communicating with us. We cannot not have that. We must have that chain of communication. She completely agreed with that. So a follow-up to say how will that happen is very important, and certainly the next day or two. I've been exchanging calls with her, but I will, and she's been on the road, but I will pass that on, that she should come up with an idea, and we're open to doing that.
Sorry. If I could just make a few comments. Clearly, I need to do a better job in communicating with FTA and to make sure that we are on the same page. I know that we are on the same page in terms of what we're trying to achieve, so there's some things there that I can do better. As part of this plan, though, part of my strategy was, to be frank, was to put something out in draft. It's been decades here before since we've addressed these issues or tackled these. I felt the urgency to do something to get that moving. That was part of my thinking and that strategy. And again, I'm open to any other thoughts that anyone has on moving forward. And I welcome a third-party engineer. engineering or however we would, the committee would want to do it. Again, there's nothing, you know, the goal here is to get it safe for people. It's not to protect some turf issue internally. So that's, I have no patience for that. So I have no issue with that. And then in terms of FTA involvement with the safety committee, I mean, again, I have no issue from where I sit on that.
Mr. Dorsey, you have questions, and I'll go to non-members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question and a comment piggybacking on Mr. Dormsdrow's comments. Healthy regulatory environments not only require that there be good constructive communication, but really concrete ways that you resolve legitimate differences of opinion and perspective. And certainly we have a process in place by which FTA requires something of WMATA, and if we don't satisfy the full extent of what they require, we have to follow up with additional data. Is that work in the reverse as well? So when we apply SafeTrack moving forward and their desire to do what I think is great, to add inspectors to the process, if there comes a point where there's a disagreement or not a complete in-sync understanding among inspectors and our professional staff, how does that actually get resolved in a constructive way where data is exchanged, ideas exchanged, so that we get the best possible product?
I think it's one that's got to be developed. I know Pat comes at this from maybe a little bit different perspective. In just even in the dealings we've had in the last 2 days with FTA, it's a different dynamic already. So I think we just continue to build on that. And, you know, again, it's not it's really just stepping back and thinking about what at the end of the day, what is the best for the customers in terms of safety. And then that's what should drive it. It shouldn't be driven by any turf issues or any personalities, and we don't have time for that.
It shouldn't be, but do we have mechanisms to make sure that it's?
We do. I mean, we meet on a regular basis. I mean, constantly the staff is meeting, you know, almost daily, and communicating with them on a regular basis. I mean, I've been texting Ms. Flowers a few times right now with some issues. So those are there, but I think it's making sure that we both come at it from the perspective and we keep an eye on, you know, the eye on the prize here, which is the safety, and get away from some of the other stuff we, you know, bureaucracies and people sometimes do.
Thanks. Mr. Smetberg, I think, well, Mr. Giacola had a question, but he's not here right now. I'll turn to you and anyone else.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't recall in the summary briefing in our packets, one of the issues beyond maintenance and you know, the safety-related matters as part of the recommendations was one thing that came out, particularly of the Lafont incident, was communication between the various the bodies. Is that being handled separate from this, or is there a component of this that addresses that particular aspect of concern?
There is a component that addresses. I mean, we're working on the issues we have with resolving communication issues, but there is a joint component working with our jurisdictions, with the COG, with the fire departments. There is a recommendation both in the some of the SMIs and in the NTSB to work better together, resolve our differences. So there is an issue that has to be resolved on both sides, and we have been working with our local partners.
Some of the concrete steps have been taken. I mean, you know, we just reached an agreement. In fact, I just signed it yesterday for the MOU to have the fire departments there 24 hours, for instance. As you know, several months ago, we reached the deal for the cell phone coverage to get at some of those issues for the customers to have the communication, but also that is also tied to our radio system and getting that in place. I meet on a monthly basis with the fire chiefs throughout the region and our safety and security people, again, just to make sure those issues, you know, we're keeping those lines of communication open. There's more to do, but we are taking, you know, concrete steps to do it as well.
Thank you. So it's part of, but yet it's separate from at the same time.
It's all part of the bigger picture.
But you raise, I mean, the point you raise is really that, you know, unfortunately, we tend to drag ourselves into the process rather than what we're trying to achieve. I'm focusing on, we have, you know, all those things
all those
from
lists,
a process
right.
standpoint, but it's much more important for me to basically do what we have to do to get as safe as quick as we can.
Right.
one of the safety board's comments and one of their recommendations went directly to the District Office of Emergency Communications, and their comment was they're not meeting national standards in terms of response time. Obviously, they'll be called upon to do a corrective action plan just as we are.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the remaining members? If not, I will adjourn the meeting.
I'm sorry.
The safety report. Trying to get out of here too quickly.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
I'll move through this efficiently. For the first quarter of 2016, both key performance indicators are above their target. Both the customer injury rate is slightly over 2 customer injuries per 1 million passenger trips, which did not meet the target of 1.75. Although this is lower than the same period last year, it is still higher than we would like, and that equates to 173 reportable customer injuries this quarter, January through March, compared to 235 reportable customer injuries last year at the same time. For employee injuries, it's the same issue as far as meeting our goal. We have not. It's 5.53 per 200,000 hours worked, which is equivalent to 100 employees working 1 year against the target of 4.5. Again, as far as actual employees being injured, that's 166 reportable injuries versus 202 in the same reporting period last year. You can see in the chart, although the overall trend line is heading in the right direction, the first 2 months were actually above target of less than a target of less than or equal to 4.5. By comparison, the Bureau of Labor Statistics average for urban and transit systems injury rate is actually 5.9. So we're actually 7% lower than that rate, but still not meeting our target of less than 4.5 injuries per 100 employees. Overall, bus transportation accounted for nearly one half of all the employee injuries in the first quarter, followed by rail transportation and then some of the other departments. And as you can see from the pie graph, our major injury types are again slips, trips, and falls, followed by motor vehicle collision related injuries. Moving towards customer injuries, similar to employee, the trend line's heading in the right direction, but for the first 2 months, we did not achieve our goal. And right now we're standing at, again, a little over 2 injuries versus a target of 1.75. Again, the same type of injury types, category slips, trips, and falls comprise the majority of our customer injuries. On this chart, some of the key drivers, as you can see, behind employees and customer injuries are, as I mentioned, slips, trips, and falls. And then we have collision-related. These are what we categorize non-preventable collisions where our operators are not at fault, or crime-related incidents where the employee transit police employees get injured. And that very quickly is the first quarter report.